tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 26th of February, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we do have some positive news from Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, who's been in hospital since this time last week, I believe, since Wednesday last week. He was at his local hospital, and they were unable to determine what the problem was, so he was then removed to the state capital hospital, where they've carried out more tests. They still don't know what is wrong with him, but there does now seem to be some improvement, and I was told this morning by his wife that he's being discharged from the hospital because they feel that now that there's been a sign of improvement, he would be likely to improve more once he gets home. And apparently he's been asleep 95% of the time. And when he's woken up, he hasn't known where he is or what he's doing. It's been quite serious. And they just have no idea what it is. I'm sure he'll be able to give you more details when he comes back to recording. Clearly he's not going to be here today. And we wish him all the best. I'm just pleased that he's now been released from hospital. We've been very concerned over the last week, particularly his wife has been very concerned. And the issue is that we just don't know what it is that's actually wrong with him. I mean, he was vomiting. He had this procedure a couple of weeks ago where they went in through his wrist and had a look around his heart with a little camera there. And they got a keyhole surgery. And then it was after that that he fell ill because, of course, they found that there was nothing wrong with his heart. There was nothing that was blocking it up. So it almost makes me wonder if maybe he got an infection from when they carried out this procedure. But anyway, it's good news that he's coming home today, and hopefully you'll be able to hear from him next week. Later on today, we also have an interview with Girmar Rudolph, which I think is a very good interview. It will be on the radio stream after the Daily Nationalist finishes. It's the first Albion Insights interview that I've carried out since being released from prison and coming back to the website. So I hope you enjoy that. And then tomorrow we will have Grandpa Dan back, who also took a week off this week. We've been a little bit light on the content this week, so I was very pleased to get that interview in with Girmar Rudolph. Now, I've had a look for some articles to go through today, and I've been trying to find something to do with geopolitics, as even though Matt isn't here, we should really concentrate on that aspect of the news. And I found quite an interesting article here, quite a surprising article, really, how open it is about what's going on. It's actually from GB News, and the headline is Donald Trump wants organized anti-Hamas crime gangs to form police force in Gaza. And I mean, that's really quite blatant, isn't it? That they're looking to get the criminal underworld to form the police force. I mean, is this normal? Is this normally how a police force is arranged today? You go to the criminal underworld and put them in place? I mean, isn't that really like admitting that in actual fact, what we have is just legalized criminal network that fine people and take money from people and claim to protect people? I mean, that's what a protection racket is, really. You pay people money and they say that they will protect you. And of course, if you don't pay the money, you'll get attacked. And the people that are attacking you might well be related to the people that you are that want to get the money from you. And it's almost like a legalized protection racket that we have today. We pay all our taxes and we're supposed to be protected by the police. Of course, we're not really protected by the police, but that doesn't mean that we don't have to pay all our taxes and our national insurance. So I'm quite surprised that they've been so open about this, that they are recruiting from amongst the crime gangs. And there's also, there's a fine line between the intelligence services and the criminal underworld as well. The intelligence services, in order to get good, intelligent, accurate intelligence, they have to have people that are embedded within these crime networks. And if they're going to be embedded in those crime networks, they have to also carry out the crimes. And we could see this in Northern Ireland, where they had intelligence operatives that were murdering people because it was necessary for them to keep their cover and to be believed as part of the network. So there's a fine line between intelligence services and organized crime. And it seems this has been openly admitted here. I've never before seen them so blatantly open about this fact that the criminal networks, the organized crime gangs, are related to the police. They're literally recruiting from them here. The White House wants to recruit organized crime and drug dealing gangs to form the new Gaza police force. It has been claimed. Donald Trump's administration has presented plans for a new security force, heavily staffed by members of existing anti-Hamas armed militias, according to the Telegraph. Now, how are these people going to be perceived by the Palestinians? If they're anti-Hamas, we know that the majority of the Palestinians support Hamas. When they were given an election, they overwhelmingly voted for Hamas. And if these people are involved in drug dealing and fighting against Hamas, it means that they will be seen as traitors. They'll effectively be seen as people that were fighting on the side of America and on the side of Israel rather than on the side of the Palestinians. And I think there will be difficulty in having the former drug dealers then being the police. I mean, it's almost similar to in Afghanistan. What happened in Afghanistan when NATO went into Afghanistan and they wanted to recruit a police force? The police force was made up of the people that really hated the Taliban. And the people that really hated the Taliban were the paedophiles and the heroin makers, the people that manufactured heroin. So the police force was literally made up of pedophiles, the people that the Taliban would hang. There's this tradition in Afghanistan called Bakabazi, boy rape. Effectively, they get the street children and they rape them, basically. And it's a tradition there. And the Taliban said, this is disgusting. We need to destroy this tradition. Anybody caught doing this, we will hang them. So under the Taliban, pedophilia was treated as a capital offence. When NATO went in there, these former pedophiles then became part of the police force. And I'm not making this up. You can look it up on Wikipedia under Bakabazi. I've done an entire podcast just on that, what is accepted by Wikipedia before. So this idea of using the people that were seen as beyond the pale and then using them as the police, this isn't a new idea. Israel, which is understood to back the United States proposals, has armed and actively supported some of the clans since the Gaza conflict came to boiling point with the October 7th attacks. This is interesting as well. It's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. One of the bizarre things that we look at happening with Russia and Ukraine, we see that Ukraine supposedly has these Nazi militias, and yet Europe and America are backing these Nazi militias, even though Europe and America are about the most anti-Nazi that you could possibly get. But the fact is, these Nazi militias in Ukraine, they are against Russia. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they will support these Nazi militias in Ukraine because they are fighting against Russia. It's similar in the West. It's the other way around. In the West, you'll see that Russia supports Antifa in the West and funds Antifa to subvert the West in the same way that the West funds Nazi militias to fight against Russia. Even that Alexei Navalny, he was a neo-Nazi, and the West have held him up as this great big hero. But the West were funding him so that he could subvert Russia, not because they support white nationalism or anything like that. And the reason why Russia will support Antifa in the West, I'm not so certain that it's because they support Antifa and cultural Marxism, because they are completely against cultural Marxism, a lot of it. Yet they will support that in the West because they know that it will weaken their enemy. You can also look at ISIS as well, that were funded by America, ostensibly these terrible Islamic extremists. Yet they were fighting against Bashar al-Assad. They were fighting in Syria against America's designated enemy. So therefore, they became friends of America and they were funded. It's all the same with the Mujahideen back in Afghanistan under Ronald Reagan, when the Mujahideen were also funded by America because they were going after Russia. So we see this, what would on the surface appears to be contradictory, the fact that we support these people, but there is actually a logic behind it. And now we see the same thing happening in Gaza, where the crime gangs that were against Hamas, effectively because Hamas were enforcing the law, that's why they're against them. Now they themselves are going to get a chance to be the lawmakers. However, the notion of using some of their members to form part of a US-backed peace force has reportedly triggered pushback from senior American commanders. I bet it has, but as I say, this is something that's been going on for years. It's accepted as a part of asymmetrical warfare, that you will use proxy groups to do your bidding in these countries. Rather than putting American troops in there, they will use a proxy group. And what they need to be certain of is that the people that are in there are anti-Hamas. They really hate Hamas. Ideally, they would want to put Israelis in there, but they can't do that. So they put the next best thing in, which is criminal organizations that hated Hamas because Hamas was responsible for enforcing the law. So that's more important to America and Israel, is that these people that they put in there hate Hamas. That's more important than they are actually law-abiding people. The armed clans in Gaza, which are formed along family lines, have documented links to organized crime going back decades, and civilians in the enclave deeply mistrust them. So they're really disliked people. I mean, this is another thing that we don't admit to today, is that a lot of things are hereditary. Alcoholism is hereditary. Being part of organized crime is hereditary. In fact, being somebody that gets sent to prison is hereditary. When I was in prison, there was a grandfather there and a father. I can't recall if there was a son there as well. This is something that the National Socialists knew about, and they knew that the descendants of people that were crime-prone would also be crime-prone. It's hereditary. And yet today we try to look at everybody and say, oh, well, everybody's equal, everybody is a blank slate. And that's not quite so, because we do have a lot of what we think is ourselves is actually inherited. It doesn't actually come from us logically thinking about things. So these people that America wants to put in place here as the police force, they are crime families, effectively. It's like putting the mafia in charge. And I guess some people might say, well, that's what happened to America, wasn't it? The Jewish crime organizations got put in charge. If you read Henry Ford's The International Jew, it tells you the story there of how Jewish organizations effectively gain their influence in the United States. And if you look at what Dr. E. Michael Jones talks about as well, he talks about the organized crime gangs, these Jewish organized crime gangs that then became legitimized in the same way that they portray it in Hollywood when they show you the Italian mafia and the Italian mafia get involved in legitimate businesses, and then they become politicians. And they're effectively telling the same story of what has actually happened with Jews and how Jews got their influence in America. And they're following the same playbook here, aren't they? By seeking to raise up the organized crime lords of Gaza. In recent months, the clans have been accused of looting aid trucks, as well as committing murders and carrying out kidnappings. But weren't we told that it was Hamas that were looting the aid trucks and Hamas that were committing these murders and attacking their own people? Now, it turns out now that it's being admitted that actually that wasn't Hamas. That was these anti-Hamas crime organisations, which, of course, is what Hamas were saying at the time. They were saying that these are actual criminals that are doing this. It's not us. At least two of the major clan groups include members who have either actively fought alongside Islamic State or declared allegiance to the terrorist organisation. And again, perhaps our listeners are unaware, but representatives for Israel did say a couple of years back that they would prefer to have Islamic State running Syria than Bashar al-Assad, because the Islamic State had never said anything against Israel. And then we have other news reports from mainstream news organisations talking about Islamic State fighters making their way across the Golan Heights to Israel, where they were then treated in Israeli hospitals, and then they were sent back to fight against Bashar al-Assad in Syria. So there was this tacit support for the Islamic State by Israel. So I would not surprise at this at all, that Israel is now suggesting that people linked to Islamic State should be running Palestine, because we know that the Islamic State aren't against what goes on in Gaza. The Islamic State just seem to be against the enemies of America and the enemies of Israel. Senior US military commanders are concerned that Donald Trump's peace process will not work without reliable security partners. And just to go back there where I said that the Islamic State only ever seemed to go after the enemies of America. Even after America pulled out of Afghanistan, suddenly we heard of Islamic State carrying out terrorist attacks in Afghanistan. You hear of Islamic State carrying out terrorist attacks against Russia, against Syria. You'd never hear them carrying out terrorist attacks against Israel or any of the allies of America. Again, they're like proxy warriors. They make out to the world that they're the enemy, but in actual fact, there is tacit support from them if they only go after the enemies of America and Israel. Britain, France, and some other nations involved in trying to turn the president's 20-point peace plan into reality have also expressed concern. We talked about this peace plan before. This is all to do with Donald Trump's Board of Peace. And myself and Dr. Johnson, we discussed this, and Dr. Johnson was of the opinion that the Board of Peace could be a good thing, not necessarily in Gaza, but after Gaza. It could be a good thing in providing an alternative to NATO. And the fact that the two of them would compete together effectively could mean that there was an improvement. But as far as them actually being a good thing for Gaza is concerned, well, that's something completely different. And we have this 20-point peace plan of Donald Trump's, which effectively means that the Palestinians just have to give up any resistance about being occupied, which I don't think they're going to do. And it says that Hamas have to give up all their weapons, which I don't think that they're going to do. It's like, what happens when you give up your weapons? You get attacked by your enemy. Just look at what happened to Muammar Gaddafi. He gave up his weapons of mass destruction, gave up his chemical weapons, gave up wanting to have a nuclear weapon. And America and the EU and Britain sent all these jihadis in there to kill him once he had got rid of his weapons. So I don't think that Hamas are going to give up their weapons anytime soon. 4 months after the ceasefire, again, the ceasefire, I don't think there's any evidence of a ceasefire. Straight away, they were still fighting. Donald Trump still refers to it being a ceasefire. 4 months after the ceasefire, plans for a post-Hamas police force appear largely to have stalled, amidst disagreement over its composition and funding. again, they probably have people that, they probably have Palestinians that say, well, we'll be the police force. But they will say, oh, yes, but you supported Hamas. We need to have somebody in the police that doesn't support Hamas. And I mean, what it's really admitting here is the only Palestinians that don't support Hamas are the criminal Palestinians that were selling drugs and breaking the law. There is also a significant uncertainty as to whether Hamas would voluntarily disarm. Well, I don't think Hamas will disarm. I don't think there's any doubt that Hamas are not going to disarm. Mr. Trump is holding the inaugural meeting of his Board of Peace in Washington on Thursday, that's today, which delegations from more than 20 countries will attend. Organisers hope to announce funding commitments for the reconstruction of Gaza, as well as promises of troops for the United Nations-mandated International Stabilisation Force, the ISF. It's an interesting name, isn't it? It sounds rather like the IDF, doesn't it? The ISF, the International Stabilisation Force, which I guess will get called as something like the Israeli Subjection Force, which it is thought will sit above the new Gaza police force and liaise with the Israel Defence Forces outside the Strip. So they're representatives of the IDF anyway. What about this promises of troops? As far as I'm aware, America hasn't promised troops being involved in this. I think what we'll see is the IDF overseeing this, basically. This ISF, I suppose, is supposed to be the go-between between the IDF and the Palestinians. And again, I mean, it does seem as if that's the sort of role that the bosses of the crime gangs would be involved in. I imagine if you have a country that's falling apart. I mean, if you just look at Haiti, for instance, Haiti is falling apart. And instead of a government there now, what you have is crime gangs, and you have these warlords that are running the country. It's the same in Libya. You have warlords that are running the country. You have two different political parties that claim to actually be the government of Libya, and they are effectively warlords. They're the leaders of crime organizations. So the state of Gaza, the way that it is, and they don't want Hamas to run it. I mean, the only other option really is to get these crime organizations to run it, which, you know, really just highlight all the hypocrisy in this, really, doesn't it? Mr. Trump said on Sunday that $5 billion had already been pledged for reconstruction and thousands of personnel promised to the ISF and local police. Is that not contingent on Hamas giving up their weapons, though? I think they're trying to give these big rewards. I remember a few years back you had Jared Kushner when he was the Middle East envoy for America for the Trump administration. And his plan was that they were going to give the Palestinians billions of dollars in investment, and they were going to build the place up, build industry. And in return, the Palestinians had to give up all their weapons, and they had to turn over control of the education system to the Israelis so that the Israelis could make up the history that they wanted the Palestinians to study, rather than the Palestinians studying the history that their Palestinian ancestors had handed to them. As I say, and all of that was contingent on getting all this money. They would get all this money and all this investment if they gave up their weapons and gave up control of education. And I said at the time, they're not going to win this war. It's impossible for them to win. Really, they should just take this money and go along with this and accept that they will have to live on this reservation. It's not just, it's completely unfair. But that will save the maximum number of lives. And instead of doing that, they rejected that. And now Gaza has been completely flattened. Tens of thousands of people have been killed. And at the end of it, they're being offered the money again on contingency that they get hand over their weapons and hand over control of education to Israel. So effectively, they've got the same offer that they had 5 or 6 years ago. And if they had taken that offer then, there would still be a lot more of them alive. I mean, sometimes it is better to be pragmatic rather than to hold to your ideals. And this is one instance of it, I think. The plan to recruit the new police force from the clans emerged before Christmas, prompting disagreement as the multinational new civil military coordination center in southern Israel. So I guess the multi-agency, multinational, I guess there must be some other countries that are saying, well, perhaps this isn't such a good idea. One Western source said there was significant pushback along the lines of, this is ridiculous. They are not only criminal gangs, but they are sponsored by Israel. Again, it's a blue sky thinking here. I mean, there is a school of thought that says that the police are just a criminal gang. It's just that they're an authorized criminal gang. They're a protection racket. When they go out and investigate crimes, they're doing exactly what a crime boss would do if someone went to him that he paid their money to for protection and said, look, this other group have come and attacked me. Can you sort this out for me? And it's effectively the same thing. It's just the police that do it under the guise of the law. Crime gangs have a system of honor. They don't, they're not supposed to break their word. They're supposed to make business transactions and all the rest of it. So there is this idea that the police really aren't that different to an organized crime gang. And as I pointed out a minute ago, like if your country has fallen apart and it's destroyed and there is no government, then the people that are going to rise up to govern it are going to be crime bosses, and it will be in their hands anyway. The concerning thing here, more than anything else, is that they are sponsored by Israel. So that really tends to imply that any criminal problem that they have had in Gaza was being sponsored by the Israelis. And it's the same as in Iran, when you have the Mossad saying, we're right there alongside these protesters, we're right there alongside them throwing the Molotov cocktails and setting fire to things. They were admitting that the people that were upsetting the regime in Iran were sponsored by the Israelis. And this is really what's being admitted here, that the people that were the so-called resistance against Hamas was all sponsored by Israel, and they were criminal gangs. Which is what, it's what the Ayatollah said. They say that those protesters weren't protesters, they were criminal gangs, they were jihadis that had been sent in there to attack them. And I guess Hamas would say the same. They would say these rebels aren't rebels, they're criminal gangs that are sponsored by Israel. Jared Kushner, Mr. Trump's son-in-law, is central to the administration's drive to push forward the 20-point plan for peace. And there are people that said, what has Jared Kushner got to do with this? Why is he involved? Well, the reason why he was involved, as I say, is because he was the Middle East envoy under the last Trump administration. Aside from being Jewish, he has been quite central to American plans for that region. He has been spearheading plans for new temporary safe communities in the part of Gaza under IDF control, to tempt Palestinians away from the Hamas-controlled area in the event the terrorist group does not willingly disarm. So the safe area is the area occupied by Israel. So instead of it being referred to as occupied territory, they're referring to it, that's the safe area, that's the safe community. Because what it means is it's safe for Israelis. It doesn't mean that it's safe for Palestinians. Certainly not safe for Palestinians who support Hamas. The first community, which is currently being constructed on the site of the former city of Rafah, is an area dominated by the Popular Forces Militia, an Israeli-backed group that has been accused of drug smuggling and aid looting. I remember when the aid was turning up there and Israel was saying, well, we can't take this aid there because people are looting it, there are looters, there are people shooting at people. We just cannot give this aid out. And it turns out here that the people that were doing the looting were backed by Israel anyway. I'm quite surprised at this article, with the things that it admits to, especially as it's GB News, and GB News is very philo-Semitic. They're admitting here that the people that were doing the aid looting, that they were Israeli-backed anyway. The Dogmush clan in Gaza City is also accused of having had links with the terror group. I guess that's ISIS. A group called the Army of Islam, which was led by figures from the Dogmush, also abducted the BBC correspondent Alan Johnston, who was held for 114 days in 2007. So they're not joking here when they say that this is organized crime, kidnappers. Which clans the US and Israeli figures proposed hiring from for the new Gaza police force is not currently known. So we don't know exactly which ones, but we do know that that is exactly who they are going to form the new police force. A US administration official told The Telegraph, planning efforts remain underway to develop the vetting process for the police force. We won't get ahead of that process. As the president stated, Hamas must uphold its commitment to fully and immediately demilitarize. And I'm wondering here if this new police force made up of the crime gangs, I'm wondering if they're going to give them weapons as well and tell them to go and force Hamas to demilitarize. They could sponsor a civil war, basically, only it won't be portrayed as a civil war. It will be portrayed as the brave Palestinian police are fighting against the evil terrorist Hamas. So we'll have to keep watching this, see what happens. As I say, today it's the meeting of this is this Board of Peace, but this is actually the first time that I'd heard about who was going to be making up the police force. And I'm sure you must admit it's quite interesting that they are choosing to make the police force up out of all the local crime bosses. Anyway, hopefully we will be hearing from Matt again next week. I hope that he's up to be making podcasts again. Anyway, and I'm sure he would appreciate your prayers, and if you want to leave any messages for him, I'm sure he will see them. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.